There's a wonderful thread of nostalgia and technical archaeology running through Hacker News today, and I want to spend time in this space because it connects to something important about how knowledge and infrastructure accumulate over time. Let's start with the most spectacular demonstration of what's possible when you really understand how browsers work. Half-Life 2, running entirely in a browser, no install required.
This one got 301 points and 108 comments, and rightly so. Running Half-Life 2 in a browser in 2026 is both a technical achievement and a kind of performance art about the maturation of web technologies. The project at hl2.slqn.dev is using WebAssembly to run the source engine directly, along with WebGL for rendering and the Web Audio API for sound. What would have seemed impossible a decade ago, running a full 3D game engine in a browser tab, is now achievable by skilled individuals, not just major corporations. The HN community is celebrating this partly for the technical work, and partly as a reminder that the web platform is now genuinely capable of things that previously required native applications.
The Bohemia Interactive story is a different kind of open source heritage moment. Bohemia, the studio behind the Arma series, has released the source code for Cold War Assault, the remastered version of Operation Flashpoint, on GitHub. With 92 points and 16 comments, this won't break HN records, but it matters. When studios release source code for classic games, they're extending the lifespan of those games indefinitely. Modders and historians can now study the engine architecture, build on it, and preserve it in ways that purely proprietary releases can't sustain. Bohemia has a history of supporting the modding community, and this is a meaningful continuation of that culture.
Matt's Script Archive Retrospective, the tedium piece that's sitting at 57 points, is genuine internet history. In the late 1990s, Matt Wright's collection of CGI scripts, form handlers, guest books, random image selectors, hit counters, was essentially the infrastructure layer of the personal and small business web. Before content management systems, before WordPress, before cloud functions, people who wanted dynamic web pages downloaded Matt's scripts, wrestled with Perl, and set file permissions to 777 because the tutorials told them to. The security implications of those widely distributed scripts were terrible by modern standards, but they democratized web publishing in a way that mattered enormously at the time.
There's a direct line from Matt's Script Archive to the modern web in the sense that the culture of sharing reusable code, solving common problems once and distributing the solution, is exactly what NPM and PyPI and RubyGems do today at massive scale. The form handler that Matt Wright wrote in Perl in 1995 and the Nub toolkit we discussed earlier are solving the same fundamental human problem. Don't make every developer reinvent the same wheel.
The Dolphin Emulator Progress release for June 2026 is another entry in this category of preserving interactive heritage. With only 42 points, it's one of the lower scored stories today. But Dolphin has been running for over 20 years as an open-source GameCube and Wii emulator, and these progress reports are essentially the ongoing history of a preservation effort. Every fix to a game that previously had rendering glitches, every performance improvement that makes another title playable, is a small act of digital preservation for games that would otherwise become inaccessible as original hardware ages and fails.
The MarkD project, described as like mermaid diagrams, but for motion, is a newer entry in the make complex things declarative tradition. With 77 points and 36 comments, it's interesting enough that people are engaging with it. Mermaid took the idea of diagram as code and made it genuinely useful for documentation. MarkD applies the same philosophy to animated motion graphics. Describe motion in a text-based syntax rather than using a timeline editor. The use case is primarily technical documentation and explainer content, and if the tooling is good enough, it could fill a real gap.
And the visual plus textual code research paper from ArcSieve is worth a mention for what it signals about the future of programming tools. The paper explores how combining visual representations with traditional text code, essentially mixing diagram-style elements with written syntax, might improve comprehension and reduce errors. The HN community has 21 comments engaging with this, mostly from people who've thought about live programming environments, literate programming, or node-based visual programming systems. It's an academic paper with low score, but the ideas it's exploring are ones that keep recurring in programming language and IDE research.
The Linked Records Project, a ShowHN for writing SaaS apps where users control where their data is stored, connects the technical conversation to a political and philosophical one. With 52 points and 28 comments, it's a meaningful engagement for a data sovereignty project. The idea is that a SaaS application built on Linked Records doesn't have to be the custodian of all its users' data. Users can designate their own storage endpoints. This is architecturally more complex, but it's a direct response to the legitimate concern that using a SaaS product means trusting that company with your data indefinitely.